This is a podcast from the Brookings Institution in Washington, D.C., a private, nonpartisan organization committed to independent research and innovative policy solutions. For more, including reports, commentary, analysis, and audiovisual materials, visit us at www.brookings.edu.
Polarization in the Congress is as intense as it has been since the 1890s, and it's slowing progress on a number of fronts, but not stalling it altogether.
Welcome to At Brookings, where each week we look at a policy issue in the news in depth. This week, is the Congress polarized and dysfunctional? Senior Fellow William Galston takes a closer look. By many accounts, Congress is floundering. Amid heated debates, finger-pointing, and cries of no fair, legislation languishes. Add to that an atmosphere of partisanship, the Massachusetts Senate upset, and a flurry of members from both parties and both chambers calling it quits, and the people's work is left largely undone. Business as usual is a bane to the business at hand, says Governance Studies Senior Fellow William Galston.
Bill, you use the word polarized to describe what's going on Capitol Hill now, but pundits and the public at large are using other words like dysfunctional and broken. How can we best describe what's going on Capitol Hill now?
Well, let's focus on the real problem. The House of Representatives operates according to strict majority rule, which means in practice that the majority rules. And so bills by the dozens have been going through the House of Representatives, and then they're stalling in the Senate. They're stalling in the Senate because the minority party, in this case the Republicans, are availing themselves of the filibuster, which means that Democrats have to mobilize 60 votes in order to proceed to the substance of any piece of legislation. And with the Massachusetts special election, Democrats have lost that 60th vote. They're down to 59. And even before the Massachusetts election, there was a lot of disagreement within the party as to the substance of particular bills, which meant that some Democrats were defecting. That made life even more difficult for the leadership, the Senate Democratic leadership.
Well, Bill, despite the Democratic control on Capitol Hill, it still seems that Democrats are feckless or frozen and not really moving their agenda forward.
Well, it is certainly a fair characterization of the American people's assessment of what's going on. The odd thing is that if you step back and look at the situation more dispassionately, 2009, according to most of the standard objective measures, was actually a reasonably productive period for legislation and for the president's agenda. There was even one study done by the respected Congressional Quarterly indicating that that President Obama had been nearly as successful as that master legislator, Lyndon Baines Johnson. So the idea that nothing has happened is not correct. Certainly, after a fast start, things have slowed down substantially, and I think the American people are responding to that. There's that problem that's contributed to the people's sense that the Congress is broken. And then there's something else quite big that's going on, namely what the American people want most is something that their entire government may not have the power to deliver to them, at least not quickly, namely a return to a vigorous jobs market so that the unemployment rate comes down rapidly. They're not seeing that, and if all of the forecasts are correct, they're not going to see that for some years to come. And that means that we have a pretty grim period ahead of us in American politics where a lot of people are going to be very unhappy a lot of the time.
During every administration, there's attrition, there's retirement of members of the Supreme Court on Capitol Hill. Should we be alarmed by what we're seeing?
Well, we're seeing a fair number of retirements, but nothing like a record number. I mean, this is about par for the course. What we are going to see is a very hard-fought midterm election for a very simple reason. The Republicans are hopeful and the Democrats fearful that the majority of one or both houses of Congress could shift from the Democrats to the Republicans. 3 months ago, it would have been preposterous to say that the Republicans had any chance of taking 10 Senate seats. Things have changed, and they do. It's a really, really, really long shot. You would probably have to give me odds of between 10 and 20 to 1 to get me to take a bet on the Republicans, but I wouldn't have taken it at any odds 3 months ago. And, you know, there is something symbolic that's brewing that could be quite a story in November. You know, as you know, a Republican now occupies Ted Kennedy's former Senate seat in Massachusetts, and it's more than possible that the day after the midterm elections, there will be a Republican occupying Vice President Joe Biden's former Senate seat and a Republican occupying President Barack Obama's former Senate seat. That would be quite a bitter pill for the Democrats, and for Republicans it would be the trifecta: Ted Kennedy, Joe Biden, Barack Obama.
Thank you, Bill. And if you'd like to learn more about this or other topics, please visit our website at www.brookings.edu.
At Brookings is produced by the Brookings Institution. To learn more about the issues discussed on At Brookings, visit our website at brookings.edu.